A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 319. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Marchlands. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, this is our chat about an ITV ghost story show, which was broadcast in 2011, 5 60-minute episodes, and some interesting stuff for us to chat about here, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. There's a very good cast, a very interesting cast, and 3 different time periods are covered. So we are introduced to almost 3 different casts in these different time periods, and some spooky mysteries that run through the course of it that need to be solved.
Yes, indeed. There is a mystery at the heart of this show, which we will get into as we go along.
Oh, yes. So the setup for Marchlands is with a large country house, which is called Marchlands. Houses in the UK very often have names. This particular house is set almost out in the woods, at the edge of this small forest, in a slightly remote area near a village in Yorkshire. And we follow the story of 3 different families who all live in this house, but in different times. One in the 1960s, one in the 1980s, and one more or less in the present day, in 2010.
So we've got this interesting idea of the, you know, 3 different times, and through all of them, they are linked because they seem to be linked by the tragic story of a little girl called Alice, who drowned in mysterious circumstances back in 1968. And somehow or other, the memory of Alice, or possibly the ghost of Alice, seems to be affecting events for all 3 of the families that we're going to be talking about in these 3 different time periods. So it's an intriguing concept straight away.
That's right. And it gives us an interesting narrative because of the different time frames we have here. Now, getting into the characters, we should probably focus on the central couples from each of those eras.
Yes, because there are quite a lot of characters. But let's start in 1968 with Ruth and Paul Bowen, played by Jodie Whittaker and Jamie Thomas King. They are the parents bereaved by the tragic death of daughter Alice 6 months before the sort of series starts. It's obviously a terrible thing which threatens to tear their marriage apart. And they live with Paul's parents in Marchlands, the parents played by Dennis Lawson and Tessa Peake Jones. So, you know, that also adds extra strain, I think, to the relationship and causes some more issues for everybody in the house. And we just mentioned, we've had obviously Jodie Whittaker on a British Invaders show because she was in Black Mirror, but it's another canonical doctor to tick off for us, Brian.
Yes, always nice to see that. And Dennis Lawson, who of course was Wedge Antilles in Star Wars, and we've seen him in Jekyll as well. Lovely to see him back. His performance is always an interesting one.
Absolutely, yes.
In the 1987 time frame, nearly 20 years later, we have Helen and Eddie Maynard, played by Alex Kingston, who of course we remember as River Song from Doctor Who, and she's done many other things. And Dean Andrews plays her husband Eddie. We remember him from Life on Mars. Also, its follow-up series Ashes to Ashes he's in as well. So it's interesting to see him playing a 1980s character again here. And this couple, the Maynards, have 2 children, Scott and Amy. And Amy, this young child, has this imaginary friend called Alice. and we start to have the questions, is this Alice connected to the original Alice from a couple of decades earlier?
Absolutely. And then, of course, we bring the time bang up to date for the release of this show to a 2010 couple, Nisha Parekh and Mark Ashbourne, played by Shelley Conn and Elliot Cowan. And they're a very modern, quite well-off couple, and they are doing that thing, which, of course, modern families do, in that they have bought Marchlands and they are restoring it. So they are doing it up, they're redecorating. They will obviously discover in the process various bits and pieces from past stories. And they're also, of course, getting ready for the birth of their first child. Nisha is quite heavily pregnant when we first meet her, and you know, the presence of a new child in the house will also raise echoes of the past.
Yes, absolutely. And it does bring sort of this style of something that is very 2010, of this professional couple moving into this fairly remote place because their jobs don't require them to be in particular locations, and sort of restoring this older place, which happens to be where in the area that Mark grew up in. And we also meet, in all of these time frames, we meet younger or older versions of characters from the other time frames. So there are a number of characters that we meet, older and younger versions, with different actors playing them, but we have that in here in a number of occasions. We also have the character of Alice herself, who is this young girl who tragically dies in 1968. She's played by Millie Archer, and we see her in this production as well.
Yes, mostly in flashback sequences, obviously, to before her tragic death. But yeah, it's interesting how they do stitch the three time zones or time frames together by having some continuous characters, although, as you say, played by different actors at different ages. So it's not neatly done.
Yes, they connect those things very nicely. So the drama progresses in each episode in all of the time frames. We are jumping from one time frame to another and slowly building up and moving the story forward. In both the 1987 and 2010 time periods, we have some renovations going on in the house, especially with Nisha and Mark in 2010. They're, you know, redoing lots of rooms and doing all sorts of things. And in 87, the Maynards are doing some work on the place as well.
And of course, this allows them to, as we've said, uncover some of the artifacts from the past. So we will see Alice's missing diary appear in one of the later stories. And of course, there's this painted mural, which Nisha and Mark discover when they're stripping wallpaper in 2010. And they see this wonderful and at first charming sort of painted mural with a little girl with her back to us looking on this wonderful sort of fantasy fairy tale scene. And of course, at first, when they see this, they think it's wonderful, and they proceed to sort of completely reveal it and make sure it's restored and so on. But of course, as the story progresses and weird things start to happen, well, that may not be quite as nice as it first appears.
Yes, we have lots of references to things from previous time periods with the diary and things painted, and I think somewhere in the cellar there's a box of toys and child's things that shows up. There are lots of different things that are there that carry on from one time frame to another.
Yes, and as you've said, they do this in each episode. There isn't, like, you know, one episode concentrated on each time. They stitch this all together quite neatly, and it doesn't seem jarring when we move from 1968 to 1987 or 2010. So meanwhile, back in 1968, I should say that the Bowens marriage is, as I've said, creaking. Ruth is still desperate to understand what happened to Alice. Her husband perhaps is more of the opinion that they should try and move on from it. They are consulting the local vicar for some form of sort of spiritual and, I guess, marital guidance. And this also allows Ruth to ask some questions about some strange events or strange things that she's experiencing. So that's what's going on back in 1968. As we said, there's quite a lot going on for all of these families.
Yes, that's right. We have sort of couples and relationships under strain in different ways in all of these time frames. And in 68, it is certainly intense with Ruth and Paul having just recently lost their daughter. So there are these sort of intense things that are done with the relationships. In 1987, the Maitlands are worrying about Amy's, their daughter's, behavior and wondering if she has some sort of illness. They are bringing her to doctors to try to figure out what's going on. And this is largely because she is having these very intense things with her imaginary friend, Alice. So we sort of wonder, is there more going on than just an imaginary friend? And they are wondering that too, and looking in medical approaches and also even sort of more supernatural things. They eventually think about that as well. Meanwhile, their son Scott is also going through difficult things, and they are perhaps not paying as much attention to that.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff, actually. All the focus is on Amy, as you say, plus some rather strange watery mishaps that keep happening in the house for the Maitlands. And they may, as you say, not really be focusing on the older son, Scott. But yeah, interesting stuff, as you say, for all the families.
Yeah, they do interesting sort of dramatic things with all of them being under strain in different ways. In 2010, Nisha is experiencing strange happenings and odd goings-on that could be haunting-related. And Mark is going running a lot to relieve stress and what have you. And we start to wonder, and Nisha starts to wonder, where is he going on these long runs? And what, if anything, is happening there?
Yes, indeed. Another one of the mysteries for this show, from Nisha to try and figure out.
That's right. And also, in all of these time frames, there is a character called Olive Runcie, a deaf woman, who we see at three different ages with different actors, and she is connecting all of these stories in interesting ways.
So lots going on, as you can tell, in this show, Marchlands, from ITV. Let's turn to our production notes, because this is quite interesting as well, I think, Brian. This was based on an American, well, I suppose we shouldn't say TV show, but an American pilot called The Oaks from 2008, which was created by David Schulner. Now, he was one of the producers on a huge show, Desperate Housewives. So I guess when he had another idea, it was somewhat of a hot property, because I suppose in 2008 time, that would have been, I guess, about the right time for Desperate Housewives to be very popular at the time.
But sometimes when someone has a big show like that and produces another pilot, that isn't always a guarantee that it will be picked up.
Yeah, and of course that's what happened. But you know, Schulner, we know, had moved into a new house, and while he was sort of like sorting out his new house, he began to wonder about the previous occupants and their stories, and that's where he came up with this idea for The Oaks and the three different sort of time periods from the same house. And they produced it as a pilot show, which was for Fox TV. Apparently, there'd been quite a fierce bidding war between Fox, ABC and CBS. But Fox sort of got it and produced the pilot. And as I say, that was 2008.
And it's interesting that there was this big bidding war over the pilot. And, you know, Fox won that and produced it and then didn't end up producing the full series. The filming of the pilot was actually interrupted by the writer's strike that was going on at the time, and by the suggestion that the 1987 segments should be turned into a family comedy. And I don't know how far they went with that idea in the pilot of The Oaks, but yeah, it's not necessarily the greatest idea for a story like this. The cast for The Oaks included Jeremy Renner, who's been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, and Sienna Guillory from the Resident Evil films.
Yeah, two pretty impressive actors. As we say, we haven't had a chance to see this pilot, but yeah, it's interesting why it didn't succeed.
Yeah, and after all of this bidding war for the pilot and then making the pilot, in the end it wasn't picked up for a series, which I believe means they never finished the story that was being told. So the pilot was sort of something that they couldn't really do anything with at that point.
And I'm intrigued because often when we're talking about British shows, particularly from the 60s and 70s, we hear about television strikes. It's interesting to hear about an American show that got interrupted by the Writers Guild strike. But there you go. So, as you say, a pilot never became a show, never broadcast. Possibly their loss, our gain, because David Schulner then sold the idea to a co-production between ITV and 20th Century Fox Television, and we get Marchlands. So it was adapted for British television by the writer Stephen Greenhorn, who we know wrote two Doctor Who episodes for New Doctor Who. He wrote The Lazarus Experiment and The Doctor's Daughter. And it was directed for British TV by James Kent. So yes, here we have a British show that started out as an American idea.
That's right. It isn't something we see that often in the things we've covered. It was filmed in and around London with the house itself in Tadworth in Surrey. Marchlands was broadcast weekly on ITV in February and March of 2011.
And it was evidently successful enough to produce a sequel series about another house with an intriguing past. That show was called Lightfields and was broadcast in 2013. I haven't seen that series, but after watching this one, I am quite intrigued about it, Brian. So who knows? We might get to that at some point in the far future.
Could be, yeah, definitely something we could cover. There was also another adaptation of The Oaks. This was for French television, and it was called Le Secret de Lise, and that went out in 2015, and I haven't seen that either. But interesting to see that this idea that was originally for American television and the concepts for it were solid enough that there were three different productions based on them, even though the original one never went to series.
Yeah, fascinating. British and French versions. So an intriguing concept. And if we've intrigued you with this idea of Marchlands, let's tell you how you can watch it wherever you are in the world. Here in Region 2, of course, as ever, it's all very straightforward because very quickly after the show's broadcast, it was put out on DVD in March of 2011. Just the five episodes, no bonus features as far as I'm aware, currently going for about £9 for that DVD. Or if you would rather stream it, as I did, I watched it on Amazon Video. It cost me $4.99 SD for the five episodes. Again, no bonus features, but a pretty cheap and quick and easy way to watch this show, Brian.
Was there a high definition option or was it standard definition only?
I believe for this one, it's standard definition only. I didn't find a high definition one.
Yeah, so it may be that was more or less how it was produced and was not upscaled. In Region 1, there is no release. The Region 2 import is available on Amazon for about $2.70 US or $12 Canadian, and those may be used copies. But there is something available that way, but you will need Region 3 capabilities if you want to watch this in North America. The Lightfield series that we mentioned is also available on DVD, and maybe we'll discuss that sometime later. But yeah, that one is also available.
Splendid. So that'll do us for the first part of our discussion. Do come back and join us for some more Marchlands next time. We'll get in a little bit more into how they interweave the three time periods, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the mysteries that may or may not be solved by this show. And also perhaps make some suggestions about the best way to watch it, I think, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely lots to talk about. And we will, of course, get to our own reviews and recommendations, our own thoughts on it. So plenty there for next time. In the meantime, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. Where we always have some nice discussions going on.
We do indeed. And of course, you can also find us with the Voice of Geeks Network, where we are proud members. Check it out at vognetwork.com.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.